Morning.
Morning.
For a long time, there's been a rumor in this church that Ellen doesn't like to be hugged. I think newcomers are taken aside and told, don't hug the minister. It's true, isn't it? So, I don't think it's ever been true, except today it's true. I can feel the cold germs swarming around my head. I'm going to try not to sneeze into the microphone. And I may disappear right after the service. But I got healing blessings from the chaplain and the gang, so I should be fine till 12. Thank you. I am whole, healthy, wealthy, and wise, yes. So it was the seventh game of the World Series, bottom of the ninth, score is tied, bases are loaded. The stands are packed, nobody has left early. And the batter comes up to the plate, there's the pitch, and the batter does not swing. And half the stadium erupts, it's a strike, that was a strike, and the other half is shouting, it's a ball, it was clearly out of the strike zone, it's a ball. And the umpire steps forward and says, it ain't nothing till I call it. That's perception. Everything in your life, everything that happens, everything about other people, everything about yourself, ain't nothing till you call it. You get to label things good or bad. You get to decide what they mean. You remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam got to name all the animals? It was before Eve was created. He had a lot of time on his hands. But it's true of all human beings. We get to name everything in us and around us. What a tremendous opportunity. So think of anything in your life that's bugging you now. Something going on that you're worried about, or you're dreading, or you're calling it a bad situation. Could it be you have simply misnamed it? We've been talking about the six mental faculties that we use to create with our thoughts. And nothing determines your experience more than your perception. Perception is the ability to shape meaning out of data. We take what our five physical senses tell us and make decisions about it. So you look at your bank account and you decide whether the amount of money in there is good or bad, whether you think you have enough or not enough. Whatever you decide, your thoughts about it, your perception of it, will be empowering or disempowering, because as you name it, you're deciding how to feel about it. You know this is perception and not ultimate truth, because let's say a checking account has $1,000 in it. One person might think, ooh, that's getting a little low. And another person might think, this is so great, it's a windfall, this is wonderful. It's all perception. Every event in your life is labeled from perception. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that we so often choose our labels based on programming instead of awareness that we are spiritual beings who have access to the infinite. The primary perception problem is that you're looking at yourself in the wrong way. You are limiting the opportunities of your life by limiting your view of yourself and your place in the universe. We just tend to forget we're an active part of all that is. When Theodore Roosevelt was the president in the early 1900s, his Secretary of State told this story later. He said they were working late one night on some world issue that seemed crucial at the time, and Teddy walked outside the Oval Office. You know, there's that back door that goes out onto a porch. And he went outside, it was night, and he looked up at the night sky for a long time. And he said, there's the Big Dipper, there's Andromeda, there's Orion's Belt. You know, we are just a tiny speck in the Milky Way. And he kept looking up for a long time and finally said, there, now I think my problems are small enough. And he went back to work with a different perception. And immediately the answer came to him that solved the problem. He'd relaxed. Teddy had reminded himself he was a tiny part of something much larger, so grand and all-encompassing we really can't conceive of it. But if the universe has the power to keep the Milky Way in order, then surely it could work through Teddy Roosevelt to solve a temporary problem. He opened up and allowed it. Think about how powerful that life force is. You've seen a flower growing up through concrete. On one of the stone picnic tables out here on the back deck, there seems to be a little tree just growing out of the table. That power of the universe is yours to use as a divine being, and it's malleable. It will take the shape of your thought. When you want to build a sidewalk, you line up 2x4s in parallel lines at the width you want. You block the ends where it stops and starts, and then you pour concrete into that frame. The concrete's still malleable at that point. It takes the shape of the frame, like the invisible substance you are bringing into form in your life. That substance will take the shape of your thoughts. Thoughts build the frame. So why wouldn't we create frames that are wonderful things in exactly the shapes we want? Because we've been trained not to. We've been given these prefab frames from our parents, from society, and we think they're the only ones. We've been told you can build a new sidewalk, but only if you have X amount of money in your checking account. For that matter, you can't have anything you can't afford. There's no other way to get what you want except to buy it. And while we're at it, you can't have a major career if you have young children at home. You can't start your own business. You better hang on to that health insurance from your employer. You can't take care of yourself because other people need you. And who would do it all? We've really been ingrained with ideas that we can't have anything unless we can figure out exactly how it will come about. And we have to figure out how to make it happen. Actually, no. We really don't have to know how. You can imagine the shape you want, build the frame with your thoughts, and then expect it to be filled. Let a higher power provide the substance that's poured into it. It knows how better to do it than you do. And it will let you know what action is required of you if you pay attention. We've also been taught pretty specifically that some things are good and others are bad. And we tend to use those labels all our lives. Being broke is bad, having money is good. Being sick is bad, being healthy is good. Getting your heart broken is bad, and being in a relationship is good, and you know that's not always true. Being broke, being sick, being dumped, you know they can lead to greater growth. You know they might be necessary to get where you're going, and you'll end up so much happier. At least you can see in hindsight sometimes how that happened. What if you could trust it before you see it? That whatever is going on in your life is part of a magnificent manifestation, and it's necessary. Whatever's going on in your life gives you a perfect opportunity to shape perception. You know how railroad tracks seem to come together at the vanishing point? And a ship sailing away seems to drop off the edge of the earth? But it keeps going, it's just out of your sight. You know, if you get on an airliner on a day like today, gloomy, rainy, and you take off, within minutes, you'll be above the clouds, where the sun is radiant, and the sun was shining all along. It's all perception. So, how do you shift your perceptions? How can you make this an empowering opportunity? Two ways. First is to be aware that you can push a pause button. In our prosperity class every year, Mary Morrissey suggests that you wait 3 days before you get upset about anything. If you lose a job, if you get a bad diagnosis, if you think your relationship is going sour, just wait 3 days before you decide whether it's good or bad. Just have no opinion. And during those 3 days, get really curious about how this might turn out to be good. What if the next job is better? What if the health issue turns out to be nothing, or at least it's easily treatable? What if your relationship fears were just a misunderstanding that'll be smoothed over in a day or two? You'll be tempted to label the event bad immediately and have feelings about it, but wait 3 days and then choose how to feel. That will give you time to remember who you are and what you're working with. You are a divine being working with the power of the infinite. And that's the second way to change perception. It's reason, which is the last of our six mental faculties. Reason reminds you who you truly are. Reason lets you know you have access to more than you can prove with your five senses. Reason is the navigator between your visible world and the infinite supply of the universe. Has that been your definition of reason? Most people would say, reason is the faculty that lets us know what's reasonable, whether we can afford what we want, whether a new idea is even possible. That's not reason. That's limited thinking. Have you had a lot of flies in your house lately?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. It seems like half a dozen come in every time I open the door. And then they try to get out through the windows, which are closed. They'll get up against the glass and they'll buzz and buzz and struggle. They're determined to get out through the glass. I could open the door any time and they could fly out. I could open the door and even try to usher them out, but they'd still be up against the glass, thinking, if I just keep trying, if I buzz louder, if I flap my wings harder, I'll succeed. How did they get so locked into the idea that the window is the only way to get out? Trying harder is not necessarily the way to achieve more. What is? Changing your thinking. Everything follows from that. We work from the inside out. You can use reason to work with spiritual law. Reason will remind you that the data you're collecting through your five senses, like how much money you have in your bank account, represents a current state of reality. But reality reflects your state of thinking. Your current reality reflects your thoughts up until now. Those are the current facts. And I'm not saying you should spend money you don't have. I'm saying you can think bigger. Forget what you've been told is realistic. Reality is going to be what you make it, because everything starts in thought. Most of us operate from a certain mindset. We should hyphenate that word the way we have started to hyphenate dis-ease. We could have mindset, which is having your mind a particular way, feeling like it can't be changed because that's just the way things are in the world. And that's how most of us approach life, with a firm set of beliefs about the way things are and always will be. But reason not only uses your five senses to tell you what's going on, it harnesses all your mental faculties. You have to believe it before you see it. And reason can reset your mind so you can see what could be. Reason brings to bear all the mental faculties we've talked about. We said you have unlimited imagination available to dream whatever you would love in your life. Conditions aside, what would you love? Start there. Start with an idea. Because once you think of it, it already exists in the infinite realm. It's already possible. Intuition will guide you toward it. Listen for directions. Intuition is your search engine for the infinite. It goes about finding the answers you need and making suggestions for more. This is why we always add this or something better to a vision statement or a prayer. We don't want to be limited by our imaginations. You know how Amazon will tell you, there's a newer upgraded version of this item. And then it will list pictures of related items you might like. We stay open to serendipity, even as we consciously and deliberately frame substance. The more you think about the life you want, the more likely it is to take shape. And you don't think about it from longing. Oh, I wish it could be this way. That's a frequency of lack. You have to match the energetic frequency of the dream. You have to elevate yourself to it. That's why you write a vision statement and read it often. That's why you start to become the person who will be living your dream. What does that person do for fun? How do they dress? What do they read? Go ahead and put on the higher level of you. And most of all, how does it feel when you imagine whatever change it is you want to improve your life? Memorize that feeling. That's future memory. Visit it whenever you get a chance. And yeah, you'll still have to tend to daily living, but spend time with the life you are imagining. You have to rise to meet it. So the faculties of imagination, intuition, and memory. We also talked last week about will. Not willpower, not force of will, that's willfulness. But will as our ability to choose and commit to a path. Willingness to keep our thoughts in line with our desires instead of letting our thoughts just roam around and get snagged on fear and worry and negativity. Any belief that our lives are less than perfect is merely perception. We give labels to events and circumstances, and we can push pause and choose to see it differently. Get curious about where the good might be. And then reason corrals your thinking. You can choose the thoughts you're creating with. Since you are operating as a spiritual being who is drawing from infinite substance, whether you know it or not, it's better to know it and work with it. You can train your thinking the way you train a dog. You have to be patient at first, but your thinking can be trained to look for the good. It can be trained not to make snap judgments about what's good or bad. Trained not to worry all the time. Thinking can be the servant of your higher self. It loves you. It can make you great. It can be a wonderfully gratifying companion on the journey. Thinking just needs rules and discipline, and we practice that. We discipline our minds to live from the awareness that we are spiritual beings with power and responsibility we have not begun to tap. One of the most limiting beliefs we carry around is the mindset that says progress is incremental, that we have to take a step at a time and it'll be slow and probably difficult to get where we want to go. Not actually true. You can probably remember a time everything fell into place so fast it made your head spin. We can be grateful science has given us the concept of the quantum leap. That's when you're here, then you're there, with nothing in between. The change itself may be big or small. The point is, it can be immediate. You suddenly can be higher on the ladder, having skipped several rungs. In retrospect, you might be able to see how everything came together so fast, or it might forever seem like a miracle. But as you think about the changes you'd like to see in your life, don't assume they have to be slow and incremental. You can see an explosive jump in your performance or your circumstances. Because there's no time in spirit. It's all about energy. You will have the life you love as soon as you consistently match the frequency of it, like tuning in a new radio channel. And you have 6 mental faculties to use as tools for this. Imagination, dream big. Intuition, listen closely. Memory, remember not the past, but the future feeling. Will, you focus on a new pattern to take you forward. With perception, you decide when and how to label events and how you're going to feel about them. And reason reminds you your life is so much more than what you see and experience today. Reason reminds you of your divine nature. Life is always seeking to expand and express itself. So let it, help it, express more fully through you. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So as the lights come down a little bit, let's just center ourselves in our seats. Deep breath in, fully out. Just feel yourself align and settle into that place where you're breathing into your heart space. And if you haven't already, just gently close your eyes. Just keep noticing your breath. And bring to mind a situation, recent experience, a state of health, the state of health of someone else, or relationship that has caused you worry. And you may notice that immediately you're thinking about how you might change the situation. What can you do? And I invite you in this situation to set aside the judgment. Aside the judgment and the to-do list, and instead move into a state of to-be-ness. Who do you want to be in this situation? To be peaceful? Do you want to be loving or joyful? Bring to mind a time in your life where you felt that. An event or a situation where you were completely at peace, joyful, loving, forgiving, and you felt it deeply in your heart. Imagine that feeling just expanding through your heart, through your entire body, because your entire body does feel it. To transfer that expanded feeling to the current situation. Amplify it. Amplify the feeling, love, peace, forgiveness, joy, expansiveness, health. Vibration is no different. The condition or the circumstance may be different, but the vibration is not. Notice the feeling. Notice the amplified feeling. Feel it all the way through, top of your head, down to your toes, out, swirling around. Imagine that feeling out through your fingertips and stretching your hands and stretching your arms around, putting a big hug around the situation. That is who you are here to be. You have decided. So breathe in that feeling, that joy, that peace, that health, that wholeness, and at the heart of all of it, love. And breathe it in fully and let it out fully. And bring that feeling back into this space. Gently, gently, gently open your eyes.